Well, good morning, everybody. Are you ready to connect with God and meet him in his scriptures this morning? I'm so excited about what I believe God's about to do in your life this morning. Every time we open the Bible, every time we open our Bible app on our phones or tablets or whatever you use to connect with God in his scriptures, every time we do that, there is a real potential that you meet God in his Bible and the work of his Spirit moving through his scriptures brings change and transformation in your life. And so this morning, as we're working our way through the very end of the Christmas season, ramping our way right up to Christmas Day itself, I want to bring you one more Christmas message. And really, it is God's gift of peace to you. And so I want to encourage you to go ahead and open whatever you're going to use to capture what God talks to you about this morning and be ready to write that down. And then connect with him this week as we're working our way through your spiritual journal or whatever context you use to connect with God daily in. I want to encourage you to make sure you have what he talks to you today about in that forum this week, because God's going to do something great today in your life. So Merry Christmas, everyone. Everyone say Merry Christmas. I love that. You know, sometimes just a phrase can bring a feeling to us. And so I would say that Hallmark and Hollywood and some other influences have had quite an influence on the way that we think about the scenes of Christmas and even the phrases that we use. And so this morning, as we're going through this, I thought I would start this morning by looking at one of the scenes that we actually consider uniquely designed for the Christmas season. It's the Nativity. Let's take a look at this real quick together. All right? Isn't that peaceful? Yes or no? I mean, just imagine that. Because every time we look at that, we need to realize that it was nothing like that at all. Isn't that awesome? There's nothing really wrong with wanting to promote the sense of warmth and connectedness and holiness and all the things that go with that. But sometimes you need to just kind of pull the sheet back and take a look at the reality of what was going on, because what we really know is that God promised that the birth of the Messiah was to bring peace on earth and goodwill towards those who's highly favored by the Lord. And so in the context of the Christmas season, I thought it'd be really interesting to take a look at what we often experience when we hear somebody say, Merry Christmas, because sometimes it just works out where we're in a season of life where it's like, yes, it is so merry. I mean, my life is fantastic. Everything is working great. In fact, if it got any better, I think I would just explode. There are occasional circumstances when that's true. But the reality is, and for most of our life cycles, there are elements of challenge and struggle and things along those lines. And sometimes we find ourselves when we're listening to phrases that sometimes seem just colloquial, like Merry Christmas or God bless you or something along those lines, that they're meant well, but often they sound hollow because we hear them in consideration with the experience we're having. And we wonder, is that really a possibility? Could I really have a merry Christmas when my life feels so turbulent right now? And I want you to know this morning, if by chance you're in one of those seasons where everything's not up and to the right and everything isn't working just perfect and you don't maybe feel so warm and merry this Christmas, I want you to know that God has something to say to you this morning. God has something he wants to bring to you this morning. And we're going to look at what he did when he brought the first Christmas message. And I think what you'll find this morning as we get into this is that for those of us who are listening to the message of Christmas in the everyday kind of warp and woof of how life works in today's life, that it might feel pretty similar to how the main characters of the original Christmas story, how it might have felt to them too. Because when we think of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men, most of the time we kind of have this image of a nativity scene. And we think, oh, how quaint. It's kind of like fairy tale-ish. And it's because it wasn't true. In other words, initially when they had the message of Christmas given to them, their life wasn't in the middle of peace and joy and all the things that we want to feel when we're considering the message of Christmas. And then in the middle of each one of their lives, something shifted, and when it shifted, the experience they had shifted with it, and then the promise that God was giving them began to materialize in their lives. And so this morning, in a very real and practical and tactical, and I can't think of anything else that rhymes with that, but way, I want to bring a message to you that you can get your hands around and go, you know what, I identify with Mary, or I identify with Joseph, or I identify with the shepherds, or I identify with the wise men. And I can see how that happened for them, and now I have a better understanding of how I need to listen to the sound of God's promise for me and make the shift I need so that I can experience the promises and the presence of God that he said he's bringing to us. So, Merry Christmas, everyone. All right. You ready? All right. I'm fixing to bring it. And when I'm done, it'll have been brought. Actually, I'm just going to talk my way through this morning because I don't think I need to get wound up too much. I think you'll actually hear the reality of what it was going. Put yourself in the spot of Mary. And she's one of the main people in the original Christmas story. She was just a little girl. And all of a sudden, she gets a message. She's engaged. She's got a dream out in front of her. And she's got ideas. And she's got wedding plans. And, you know, it's all the stuff that we go through when we're anticipating some big, exciting things. And then she gets a message that doesn't fit that at all. In fact, when she hears the message, it doesn't give her any peace. The message that she heard from an angel was, listen, I want you to know God has chosen you. You're about to get pregnant, and it's going to be from God. Now, nobody's going to understand this, but you're going to actually bear the Son of God. His name's going to be, he'll be the Redeemer, the Messiah. And so the angel went on and began to tell her these things. And I'm just putting myself in her spot. Now, I've never been pregnant before, but I've been married to someone who was pregnant. But the reality is, if you just put yourself in that moment of her experience, probably the initial feeling wasn't overwhelming feelings of joy and warmth and peace and serenity and things along those lines. What would you imagine yourself feeling if all of a sudden that message came to you as God's promise? Just think about that just for a minute. Now, we don't actually have to imagine too much because it actually tells us in the Bible. Luke chapter 1, verse 29 says it this way. She was confused and disturbed. And as she was confused and disturbed, she tried to think what in the world could he mean? I'm going to have a baby. I've never been with a man. I've never been through that experience. It's not my time yet. That's not my season yet. This isn't how it's supposed to work. Hey, everything about this feels wrong. She was confused. She was afraid. She was concerned. She had all these ideas. I mean, how would she explain this to her dad? Hey, Dad, I'm pregnant. Don't worry, God did this. I mean, what would they say on Instagram about her? What would the scandal actually sound like? And so if you think about it just for a moment, Merry Christmas didn't seem very merry to her in that moment because all she was hearing was news of something that didn't actually seem to fit her expectations. She had other plans, and now this had happened. What about Joseph? What about Joseph? How do you think he responded when he heard that his fiance was pregnant? How would you feel? Like, I didn't do that. Hey, I've got questions. Now, we have the benefit of 2,000 years of history. We can look back and say, hey, doesn't hang in there, Joseph, because what you don't realize is, but if you just put yourself in the moment when he was hearing the news, it wasn't having a Merry Christmas. He was feeling abandoned, rejected, betrayed. Imagine he felt hurt. Disappointed? See, we know, we look back on this and we see, oh, this is the beginning of the Christmas story. It's going to work out great. But in the moment of hearing that news, it wasn't so happy and jolly and bright. And I wanted to just pause in these moments with us because, see, the God we serve is a very real God. And he's got very big and powerful promises that he brings to us. And those big and powerful promises come into our lives, and often when they show up in our lives, they don't seem to match the experience we're having. And a lot of times we don't know what to do with this big, powerful promise and this awesome presence of God. And what do I do with that? It doesn't feel like that. And I feel like I'm being fake if I just say yes. Can we be real this morning? Joseph was hurt, disappointed. Listen to how God describes his experience in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Joseph, to whom Mary was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. In other words, I want out. When he heard the news of what was happening, he didn't want in at all. He wanted, everyone say out. Out. How many of you ever faced something and all of a sudden you just want it out? Is that okay to admit this morning? Okay, sometimes we get news and we're like, ah, don't want to deal with that. I'm out. I'm out. What about the shepherds? What about the shepherds? Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 reads this way. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were what? Terrified. In other words, these are just good old salt of the earth, hardworking guys working the night shift. They weren't thinking anything else other than just how do I get through one more shift? And all of a sudden this big explosive development shows up and it didn't feel warm and merry and bright to them. It felt terrifying. By the way, this message is really good news. I know it kind of feels kind of sobering. But the reality is, life feels that way. And the kingdom of God and your heavenly Father didn't line up a big long list of empty platitudes to encourage you with that meant nothing. He actually gives you the promise of his presence, the promise of his power, the promise of his future that he's got for you, the power of a plan that he has for your life. And he wants you to know that often when the news of that touches our lives, it doesn't seem to match the experience we're having, but there's a response that we can give him back that aligns us with the power of this promise in a way that allows us to experience that. And I think the Christmas story is one of the best scenarios to help really understand what that feels like, because all the players, all the main players in the Christmas nativity scene, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and even the wise men, and when they got the news and when they went through the experience initially, it wasn't what we think of as Merry Christmas. It started in a way that didn't seem right to them. It started out that way. When the shepherds heard it, they freaked out. And then finally, the wise men. Matthew chapter 2, first part of verse 1 says this. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem. And the story goes on. I'll finish reading that here in just a few minutes. But the bottom line is we see the entrance now of what the Bible says, wise men or magi in some translations. And we actually know them as those who came to bring gifts to Jesus. They were worshiping. But what I want to do is spend just a moment on the part that we just read, how they actually showed up from the east. The eastern lands, most scholars agree, is either Babylon, which would be modern-day Iraq, or Persia, which is modern-day Iran. And I love how we can just read that. These guys just showed up from over there, and it's like they just beamed in, like they just showed up with their Starbucks card, you know, or whatever it was, and they just popped in to do this. But if you think about what it took for them to just arrive in Jerusalem from the eastern lands, it wasn't quite that easy. It wasn't quite that easy. Depending on the route they took, it was either 800 to 1,200 miles. of a trip on camels. How about that for 2 or 3 months on a camel? Across the hot and sweaty desert, perilous terrain, bandits, scared for your life, following a star. Oh my God, are you kidding me? How would you feel at the end of a 2 or 3 month trek across the deserts, facing all those hardships, following some uncertainty of something that you've been watching for but didn't know if it was going to actually turn out or not? I know how I'd feel. I'd feel exhausted. I mean, I'm wiped out after a day of travel in a modern jet airliner. I mean, think about this. You're cycling along at about 550 miles an hour, about 35 or 40,000 feet high. You complain because there's not enough space to stretch out. Meanwhile, you click off about a mile every 30 seconds, just clicking it by. We get there, we are wiped out after 2 hours of travel. These guys, 2 or 3 months on a camel. They're just beat. You got to know. And even though they're wise and all that stuff, they're wiped out. I just have to figure in my mind as I'm thinking about the experience they must have had. How many times did they think to themselves, is this really worth it? Is this actually going to work out? I mean, I don't know. There's no guarantee here. We may get there and get laughed out of town. We may have faced this whole journey that seems completely irrational. Maybe we've done this whole trek for nothing. Now, a lot of times when we read through scriptures, we read with the end in mind and we project into the experience what the outcome was, but they didn't live it that way. They just live like you and I live. How's this going to work out? I don't know how this is going to turn out. Is there any reason to keep going forward? There's no guarantee. I wonder how many times they thought about quitting. Anybody ever faced something and you thought, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with this relationship. I'm done with this circumstance. You can take this job and love it. A lot of times we face circumstances and the response that we feel on the inside is, that's it, I quit. I'm just too tired to keep moving forward. So when you think about it, all four of the primary people we see in the nativity scene, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the magi, the wise men, all of them faced extraordinary circumstances. And when you review that cast of characters in the first Christmas, they collectively felt confused, worried, hurt, brokenhearted, fearful, scared, and exhausted. And some of you may be going, oh my gosh, you're describing me right now. The good news is God has a promise. God has a promise. And he brings us to these places where we actually confront the reality of life because he's not fake. He's not a phony. He's not an image. He's real. He's personal. He's powerful. He's present. And he's got a promise for your life. And he wants you to know this morning, no matter what you're facing today, maybe you feel scared, maybe you feel overwhelmed, maybe you feel exhausted, maybe you feel terrified, maybe you feel confused, maybe you feel troubled, maybe you feel all kinds of terrible feelings. I want you to know this morning, your God isn't confused by any of that. He sees you, he's with you, and he has an answer for you. I love how faithful God is. He's faithful. Touch a neighbor and say, he's faithful. Now, some of you didn't touch a neighbor. Touch the other neighbor and say, he's watching. He's faithful. I'm really glad that the Christmas story didn't end at that point in any of their lives. The first Christmas story actually continued further. So I want to pick up now the other part, because as we look at each of them, as they acknowledge the initial experience they had, each of them had a response that really is a categorical response that all of us can watch, can learn from, and can apply in our lives. And what I want you to, I'm going to give you a little phrase, it's corny. I'm just going to tell you that, which is why I'm stalling. It's corny. But it's kind of memorable. But it's pretty juvenile. But it works. But it's pretty remedial. But it actually works. It actually works. Every one of them had the same categorical response. And their response shifted their whole experience. And this is one of the keys that God has for us, because his promise is always tied to a response on our part that realigns who we are and how we're living to something he is and he's doing. I don't know if you heard that. I don't know if I can say it the same way twice, but I'll give it a shot. The powerful promises of God are always tied to some response that we give him that realigns who we are and how we're living to who he is and what he's doing. Do I need to do that again? I'm really just afraid to tell you what this little phrase is. I keep stalling, but I'm going to get to it. You ready? All right. Everyone of the key players in the first Christmas story, they didn't give up, they looked up. Wah, wah, wah. Okay, now let's get the childish little phrase kind of issue aside. Let's get it out there in front of us, and then I want you to move the weird part, the weird feelings aside, and let's look at what we're actually saying. They felt like giving up, but they chose to refocus. They looked somewhere else. In other words, when they were looking at their circumstance, the Bible tells us they were overwhelmed, they were afraid, they were terrified, they were exhausted, they were put out, they were uncertain, they had no reason to believe it would continue. They didn't know if it was going to, there were no guarantees. They had all the same feelings that you and I have when we look at our circumstance. But then something happened. The word of God, the promise of God, the message from God touched their awareness and they turned their focus. In other words, they were thinking about what was happening to them. And then they heard the message and they shifted their focus from what was happening to them to what God was saying was happening for them. Now, as we go through this, I want you to realize nothing about the shifting of their focus changed the actual circumstance itself initially. But it was the key that positioned them to move out of the overwhelming gravity of that circumstance and away from that into the promise that God had given them. You got a few more minutes worth of listening to you this morning? Here's the big idea. Write this down. When their focus changed, their feelings changed. When their focus changed, their feelings changed. When their focus changed, their feelings change. Why is this so important? Listen, everybody, look at me. When you finish writing that down, look at me for a second. Feelings are powerful. Do you know God gave us the ability to feel as a gift? Imagine trying to go through life with no feeling. Feeling is often how we connect with people relationally. Feeling is usually the impetus or that emotional catalyst that makes us want to do something. Usually you don't change something unless the pain of change is lower than the pain of remaining the same. In other words, there, God gives us the ability to feel for a reason. But a lot of times we are downstream of the wrong focal point without realizing our feelings follow our focus. And one of the biggest gifts God gives us is the ability to refocus. Come on, you've been in the middle of an intense discussion with a husband, a wife, a kid, a parent, a friend, a boss, a colleague, something along. You've been in the middle of all that, and somewhere in the back of your spirit, in the back of your mind, you've heard the phrase reset. Come on, push the pause button and recalibrate this. You can stop this. Do you realize that every argument can be turned if at least one or both of the people involved in that argument will see this little picture and go, wait a second, I'm focusing on something that's real. It's filling me with this feeling. But if I'll focus on something that God said that is real, that will produce a feeling in me that will transform my experience in the middle of this. I want you to watch what happened in each one of the four kind of main characters in the Christmas story. When their focus changed, their feelings changed. What about Mary? Initially, she was focused on things like her unplanned pregnancy, the gossip that was soon to start, her future that was all up in the scrap heap now, her wedding plans, which is thrown out because now there's a situation. That was initially what she was focused on, and she was disturbed. She was afraid. But everything changed when Mary began to focus on God's promise. Mary then looked up. She received and trusted God's message to her. And in the end, she realized that that message to her was not her end like she thought it was going to be. It was actually the beginning of God's powerful promised season for her life. Listen to the sound of the shift of her perspective in Luke chapter 1, verse 37 and 38. This is from The Message. Starts out this way. Nothing you see is impossible with God. And Mary said, yes, to the angel, I see it all now. I am the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. In other words, there was a moment in that discussion with the angel when her focus shifted and she goes, wait a second, I see it. I see something now. And what I see now is changing my will. What I see now is changing my feelings. Why? How do we know that? She said, because now her whole tone shifted. I'm the Lord's servant. I'm ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. Why? Because now I see it. Now I see it. What did she do? She allowed the promise of God to intercept the focus of her gaze so that she began to see, here's what God is actually promising you. It went from a, you're going to be scandalized as an unexplainable pregnancy to the fact that you're going to carry the Messiah. You're going to be the mother of Jesus. You're going to be the one who's talked about for eternity. Does that make sense? So when she saw it, her focus shifted and her whole attitude shifted. I love that. When Mary refocused on the promises of God, her feeling changed from confusion to celebration. Listen to this. Luke chapter 1, verse 48 in The Message says this. God took one good look at me and look what happened. I am the most fortunate woman on the earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. In other words, she saw it. And when she saw it, it changed her whole attitude. You know what's interesting? When she allowed her focus to shift and her attitude to change, you know what else happened? Everybody around her shifted their attitude too. Listen to this. Luke chapter 1, verse 58, the story goes on. Her neighbors and relatives, seeing that God had overwhelmed her with her mercy, celebrated with her. In other words, once she shifted her focus on the circumstance as she was interpreting it, to the actual reality of what God's promise was, even though it hadn't happened yet, she shifted her focus. She began to see differently. And when she saw differently, her feelings shifted with that. Her attitude shifted. Her experience shifted. Her circumstance didn't shift yet, but her experience did. And then when she began to lean into that experience that she was having, as it began to shift, her attitude shifted, it began to touch those around them. I've got so many messages I want to preach, but I've got so little time to preach it in. So let me just stay on track. Y'all get the point of that? What about Joseph? What about Joseph? Same thing happened to him. Everything changed for Joseph when he focused on God's plan, not his pain. Write that down. Everything changed for Joseph when he focused on God's plan, not his pain. When he heard the news that his fiance was pregnant, he felt pain. He was confused. He wanted out. But then when he actually focused on God's plan, not his pain, everything about his experience changed. Everything about his experience changed. Listen to this. He went from wanting out because he didn't see any other solution. Now watch this. Listen to what he began to experience. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, write that down. Matthew 1, verse 20 in the NIV reads this way. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. In other words, God went out of his way to help him realize, listen, I'm in the middle of this. And Joseph began to shift his focus from the pain of being misunderstood to the promise of what God had for him. So powerful. What about the shepherds? Let me pick this up a little bit. Everything changed for the shepherds when they looked up. Their focus initially was just protecting the sheep, just out doing my job. I'm not focusing on anything special, just getting along to get along. But watch this. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 13 says, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him with this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of other angels, armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom God is well pleased. This message totally changed their perspective of what they were doing. They were just humdrumming their way through life, and all of a sudden heard a message from God. They shifted their gaze from what they were looking at to what God was saying, and it literally changed their circumstance. Watch this. When the angels returned to heaven, it goes on in verse 15, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened for what the Lord has told us about. Verse 16 says this, then they hurried to the village and they found Mary, and there was the baby lying in a manger. Now watch what happens. They went from being afraid when they first saw the angels, they went from being afraid and terrified. They shifted their focus. Now they saw what God was doing. They ran and saw the baby. Now watch this. Here's what happened to them. After seeing him, verse 17, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And then the shepherds, verse 20, went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. What are we seeing here? You know what we're seeing? What started out with them as being a panicked experience turned out to be a party. In other words, they say, God interrupted the flow of my humdrum life, and I shifted my gaze into what he was doing. I went and saw what he was doing, and now I'm actually part of the story. Why? Because I saw what he did. And it's real. These were just sweaty old workaday guys. And now all of a sudden, you know what? They've been lifted from their no description kind of faceless job into the annals of history. They're part of the story. You know why? Because they allowed their focus to shift into the story of what God was doing. They leaned into it. They went and connected with it and began to share with others what they watched God do. I love the power of God's promise. What about the wise men? For the wise men, everything shifted for them when they met Jesus. What's interesting to me about their particular experience is, in a way, they'd been looking up the whole time. They were watching for the sign. They were looking for the star. And then when they saw the star, they began the journey. And for 2 or 3 months, hobbled their way through on camelback, through all the journey to get there. They went through the interview with Herod. They went through all these other things. Then when they finally saw and met Jesus, there something in them changed when they met Jesus. When they met Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 is where this part of the account is collected. It says this, after this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star that they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. In other words, they met Jesus, and that meeting changed their experience. An instant flow of worship began to come out of them when they met him. All their fatigue, all their aches and pains evaporate the moment they focus on Jesus after meeting him relationally. When you and I meet Jesus relationally, not ritually, but relationally, it shifts the very core of who we are. See, if you'll let God readjust your gaze, your focus, from the circumstance around you into who he is and what he's saying to you, when you actually connect with him relationally, it changes the very expression and experience of your life. I want to look at 4 things that happened to the wise men. I'm going to look at these 4 things because I believe they outline, here's what happens when you meet Jesus. Not when you know a few facts about him, not when you've heard about him, not when you know the story about him, not when you teach a lesson about it, not when you lead a life group about it, but when you actually meet him, 4 things happen to them. These 4 things happen in our life as well. Number 1, you feel humbled by his presence. When they walked in, the scripture says they bowed down before him. These were learned high society people. But when they actually saw him, when they met Jesus, overwhelming response came from them, and it was to bow before him in worship. When we meet Jesus relationally, there's a compelling drive in us to open our hearts to worship him with humility. They express their gratitude to God through worship. They begin to worship God. Number 3, they opened up to Jesus everything that they held near and dear. And number 4, you want to give him the best of everything you've got, which is not out of duty or guilt or obligation, but out of a genuine flow of worship. God, I see you for who you are. Jesus, I'm amazed at who you are. Because of who you are and what you've done, I see it. And now my heart is connected to you in a relationship. And because of that, I want to worship you. I want to open myself to you. I want you to have everything that's in my hands. Why? Because of who you are. See, religion can't do that for any of us. The relationship with our Father, relationship with him through Jesus Christ, relationship made possible by the work of the Holy Spirit moving through your life, that relationship changes everything. And this morning, I want to ask you a question. Have you let God shift your focus off of your circumstance onto his promise? See, God wants to bring peace. The promise of the Messiah was peace on earth, goodwill to men, mankind. But, Dave, can I get just a tiny bit more volume on this mic? But here's what I want you to know. God announced that, but he didn't force peace on anybody. He said, it's here. The way people experienced the peace that came from God was when they actually shifted their focus from the authority of their experience into the promise that he was making them through his presence. When they actually heard God, the promise, and they shifted their focus and say, I trust that, I open myself to that, then the peace of God that transcends or goes above the circumstance we are normally living, begin to radiate in their life. And this morning, the same promise of peace is there for you and for me. See, so often we want peace to come into our life by the circumstance finally settling down, by the situation finally working out so it doesn't bother us anymore. I just want it to go away. I just want it to settle down. I just want it to be fixed. I just want it to be over so I can finally be at rest and be at peace. And God says, no, that's not the way peace that comes from me works. Peace that comes from me comes with me. Did you catch that? Peace from me comes with me. The way we connect with the peace of God is to connect with Him relationally, not ritually, not religiously, but relationally, which means I'm opening my mind to you. I'm opening my life to you. I'm opening my valuable, everything that I hold near and dear to me. Lord, I don't own any of this. It's all yours. Why? Because I see that you're God and I'm not. I see that you went out of your way to reach me when I was unreachable, to love me when I was unlovable, to redeem me when I felt unredeemable, to give me hope when I felt hopeless. That's what you did for me. And because of that, I am totally open to who you are. And there's a moment when this happens to us that it shifts who we are at the experience level on the inside. And then no matter what the circumstances happening around us, we have a calm sense of His peace because He is with us in the storm. Peace on earth. Why? Because you're listening to my voice. You're listening to my promise. You're connecting with who I am. And if you'll receive me, you get my peace with me. I want you to know this morning that the Christmas story is not a fake, conjured up image that culture just tries to foist on us. It's a promise from your heavenly Father who created you, who sees you, who loves you no matter what you think. Peace on earth, goodwill to all mankind. In other words, his promise is available to everyone, no matter what your circumstance, no matter what the trauma, no matter what the issues, no matter what the crime, no matter what the situation, no matter the rejection, no matter the things you've done, the things you knew as you were doing and they were wrong, the things you've done that hurts other people. It's happened to us and it's happened by all of us. It's part of life. And your Heavenly Father wants you to know, I see you. I have you. You're still breathing. I've got a promise for you. I'm here. My presence is real. My peace is real. Open your heart to me. Let me in a fresh new way. This Christmas, let me in a powerful, new, promising way. Why? Because I've got a powerful promise for you in this new season. I want you to know this morning, that's who your God is. That's who your God is. Christmas is not a sentiment. The original Christmas interrupted four categories of people in their life, and they initially heard it in the worst of circumstances. But in the worst of those circumstances, all four of them made the shift and said, be it unto me as you see it. In other words, I trust what you're saying. I see you relationally. I'm going to go with you. And in doing so, it changed their focus, which changed their feeling, which changed their experience. It changed their story. Come on, it gave them hope and it gave everybody who heard their story hope for thousands of years. Now, 2019 Christmases later, here we are. You know what God's saying to you, Aaron? I see you. I've got a promise for you. I've called you. I've appointed you. I've anointed you. And you can trust it. I could just, Nate, I see you. I've called you. I've appointed you. I've anointed you. Nothing in your background disqualifies you from this. I am the one that called you out. Chris, the same to you. I see you. I called you. I appointed you. I'm anointing you. You are the man for this season. That's a powerful promise that God's giving you this season. 2019 Christmas. God is visiting every one of you. Every one of you, every one of you. He's saying, I see you, I have you, I've called you, I brought you back. 3 years ago, you would not have imagined sitting in this service, at this church, at this time, right now. But here you are. Why? Because I see you, I've got you, I've got a promise for you. Merry Christmas, everybody. Come on, you guys. I want to pray with you this morning. Would you just open your hearts? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness in the middle of the circumstances of our lives that seem so chaotic, so overwhelming, so mystifying, so befuddling, so confusing, or so fearful, or so just turbulent. And in the middle of all that, God, we hear your voice, and today we say, yes, God, be it unto us as you say. We are yours. Our hearts are open to you. We hear your voice. We choose to respond. We give you our yes today in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I feel there's a wave of grace being released over this congregation today. And I want to say it's a new season. It's a new day. Your Heavenly Father is saying Merry Christmas for real. And this is how you experience it. If you're in this place today and you know you need to give Jesus a response that means yes from your heart today, whether you've done this before, whether you've done this last week, whether you're a pastor on our staff, an elder on our team, a coach, a dream team member, a founding member, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are. If you sense God stirring your heart with a fresh new promise and you say, today, I wasn't ready for this. I didn't see it coming, but I sense God calling me and I'm desperate to step into his power, into his promise. Today is my day. I'm going to ask on the count of three, if that's you, then I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet because today we're going to watch God do something great. Ready? One. Come on, don't delay. Two, don't overthink it. Three, if that's you today, stand up. Come on, you guys, God's gonna do something great all over this room today. Come on, don't be shy. Don't overthink it. Just receive it. God's saying Merry Christmas to you. God is calling you out. He's saying, I've got a power, I've got a promise. Come on, don't delay. Don't overthink it. If you're hearing God's voice and you're saying, I need this today, then that's your promise. Come on, stand. There's more people. If you're struggling on the inside, wondering, is that me? I want you to know that is. That is. God has a promise for you. God has a powerful promise for you. He's personal. He's real. This is a moment of decision. It's going to change your life forever. This will be a Christmas you never forget. You know why? 2019, you heard God say, Merry Christmas. I'm about to change your life forever. Come on, last few seconds. Anybody else? All right. I'm just going to ask you to lift your arms. Let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father. Come on, everyone. Heavenly Father, today I receive the sound and the power of your promise. You're personal, you're profoundly real, and you're present in my life today. I yield my life to you today, and I receive you in a fresh new way. Today, God, I am yours, and you are mine. Your promise, your plan, not my pain, not my confusion. It's your promise and your plan. That's what I focus on. I receive you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, you guys.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.